Well, thank you all for coming. My name is Khalil Philander. I'm the Director of Social Responsibility at BCLC, and allow me to be the first person to welcome all of you to the New Horizons in Responsible Gambling Conference. Today we have a special pre-conference session that Lindsay Richardson, who's our Senior Responsible Gambling Specialist for Special Populations, will be teaching us. The name of the presentation is... And we have already the technical glitch, which is a great way to start this conference. But the name of her presentation is Supporting Gaming Workers, Research Insights, and Program Outcomes. Lindsay Richardson's position is, like I mentioned, the Senior Specialist for Special Populations, which means that her role deals with different groups of people who might have increased risks of gambling issues or different types of risks than the general populations that we might deal with. And so Lindsay comes to us with a comprehensive background in health research, evaluation, policy development, and health promotion. And she's worked on many different public health research projects nationally and internationally. So we're very lucky to have her. And so please join me in welcoming Lindsay to the stage.
Good afternoon and welcome. As mentioned, glitch. I'm Lindsay, and as Khalil mentioned, I'm a Senior Specialist in Responsible Gambling at BCLC, and today I'm here to share with you findings from a recent survey we conducted with gaming workers here in BC. And throughout the presentation today, we're going to discuss responsible gambling and gaming workers in BC. We'll discuss both the workplace, the risk factors and the protective factors that exist within the workplace and that can mitigate or potentially promote gambling behavior. We'll get into the specifics of the gaming worker survey, and then we'll discuss the actions BCLC is taking in response to the research findings. To provide some context and background, we know that industry-wide at-risk gambling rates are higher amongst gaming workers, and we wanted to know if this was true in BC. If so, we wanted to conduct research to inform our policies, programs, and services for those that work in the industry. By taking better care of our workers, we know that we can take better care of our players, which is in turn better for the long-term sustainability of our industry. BCLC is committed to harm reduction not only amongst our players, but among those that work in the industry as well. It's important that we have the right information, services, and supports in place for those who need them. Research shows there are a number of factors that heighten certain risks of gaming workers developing gambling disorders. To that end, with Ipsos, we conducted the Gaming Worker Survey in 2016. The results of this survey provide us an opportunity to enhance and tailor our resources for gaming facility workers. Before I get into the specifics of the survey, what I'd like to do is talk about both the protective factors and risk factors that exist within the workplace. In terms of policy, gaming workers are not allowed to gamble in the facility where they're employed or any facility operated by their service provider. Further, although gaming workers are eligible for our Encore Rewards program, they're only able to do so with limited program membership. For training, we have our appropriate response training, commonly called ART, which is a mandatory BCLC training program for all front house gaming workers. ART was created to enhance responsible gambling-related knowledge, skills, and awareness for all gaming personnel in order for them to support players in their facilities. ART is comprised of two distinct levels. There's ART Level 1, which is an online course intended for all front-of-house gaming workers, and ART Level 2, which is a four-hour in-person training program implemented by our regional team leads and a GameSense advisor if available. More than 15,000 gaming workers have completed the ART Level 1 and or ART Level 2 so far, and we regularly update the curriculum based on research and best practices. We also have our GameSense advisors, or GSAs as we call them, and GSAs are staff within casinos that provide responsible gambling-related resources and information for players who are looking for support or just information on responsible gambling or problem gambling. continuing to look at the protective factors. Our GameSense advisors also regularly implement staff awareness programs in staff rooms or around staff rooms, such as Myths 101 and GameSense 101. And finally, we have our GameSense Excellence Award, which enabled gambling employees to nominate their peers who go above and beyond in terms of responsible gambling in their daily operations. As mentioned, gaming workers are at heightened risk for problem gambling, and this may stem from factors related to the workplace environment. For example, we know gaming workers have regular interaction with gamblers, which may lead to distorted views of winning. They often have a frequent exposure to gambling, which may normalize gambling behavior or heavy gambling behavior. They may experience encouragement to gamble from their work colleagues, where there's a general acceptance of gambling. They're regularly exposed to marketing, gambling marketing and promotions, which may act as a trigger or encourage them to get caught up in the excitement. And there may be a reluctance to expose their gambling behaviors to their employer for fear of reprisal or job loss. Given this information and the fact that to date the majority of responsible gambling efforts have been focused on the player, we realized it was equally important to focus on those that work in the industry. The benefits of doing so would help us maintain a healthy and engaged workforce, improve service delivery, and improve player well-being. Now to get into the specifics of the survey. We had four objectives. First, we wanted to understand the gambling behavior of BC gaming workers. We wanted to determine the incidence of at-risk and not-at-risk behaviors. We wanted to understand the impact and influence of the workplace. And finally, we wanted to measure awareness, attitudes, and use of responsible gambling and problem gambling resources. To ensure confidence and protection of the employees, the research was reviewed by an independent ethics review board. And in terms of methodology, our survey was an online survey, with survey invitations being sent by email to 1,300 of the 7,500 gaming workers in BC. In total, 547 surveys were completed online between May 4th and May 12th, 2016. One of the challenges we encountered was how we were going to reach frontline staff, since they're employees of our service providers, not BCLC, and they don't have a corporate email account. We needed a way to send them the link to the survey while capturing the appropriate consent. With the help of our GameSense advisors, we set up tables in or around staff rooms as an opportunity to engage staff, tell them about this survey, and encourage them to participate. At a few remote sites, we also had an iPad available for those who may not have internet at home. 59% of the surveys that were completed were via this open link method, and over 50% of those who completed the survey were frontline staff. Now I'd like to get into the results. Our research indicates that 92% of gaming workers that we surveyed had gambled in the past year. In comparison, 72.5% of the general public participated in gambling over the last 12 months. The top three gambling activities for the gaming workers we surveyed were retail lottery purchase, retail scratch and win, gaming facility slot machine play. When we look at problem gambling, we can see that 7.9% of the adult population is estimated to be at low risk for problem gambling compared to 14% of gaming workers. Also, 3.3% of the general public is estimated to be at moderate or high risk of gambling problems, compared to 14% of gaming workers. Gaming workers provided a variety of reasons why they gamble. For example, for fun, to be social, to be relaxed, or to have an escape. And these responses were similar across the three categories of gamblers: non-problem, low risk, and moderate high risk. Now, what about responsible gambling? We asked survey respondents how much they agreed with the statement, "I'm a responsible gambler." In response, 86% of non-problem gamblers strongly agreed or agreed with the statement, 99% of low risk agreed or strongly agreed with the statement, and 55% of those in the moderate and high risk agreed or strongly agreed with the statement. This shows that amongst those in the moderate and high risk category, there was about one in two of them viewed themselves as responsible gamblers. So there was a bit of a sense of reality. Continuing to look at responsible gambling behaviors, findings indicate that those in the moderate and high risk category were less likely to engage in responsible gambling behaviors. For example, if we look at the first two rows, 78% of those in the moderate high risk category rarely set aside gambling winnings, compared to 34% of those in the non-problem category. And 41% of moderate and high risk gamblers rarely set a limit to how much money they spend, compared to 7% of non-problem gamblers. Now, what about the workplace? Individuals in the moderate and high-risk category had previous exposure to gambling before working in the industry. For example, they were significantly more likely to be familiar with the games and significantly more likely to have been a frequent gambler. Individuals classified in the moderate and high-risk category reported the highest increases in gambling since starting to work in the industry. For example, 32% of those in the moderate and high-risk category said that their gambling increased since working in the industry, compared to 26% of those in the low-risk category and 10% in non-problem. Overall, though, the frequency of gambling changed since working in the industry for all workers. However, the direction and magnitude of change varies by segment. We asked survey respondents what workplace factors that influence gambling behavior, and the findings indicate that workplace factors that may deter from gambling seem to have a lower impact on those in the moderate and high-risk category. For example, if we look at the first row, 32% of moderate and high-risk gamblers agreed that they want to avoid spending additional time involved with gambling after work, compared to 64% of non-problem gamblers. Continuing to look at the workplace factors that influence gambling, we can see that workplace factors that may encourage gambling seem to have a higher impact on moderate and high-risk gaming workers. For example, if we look at the first two rows, 20% of the moderate and high-risk gamblers said that marketing at work tempts them to gamble, compared to only 4% of non-problem gamblers. Also, 23% of moderate and high-risk gamblers said that gambling relieves stress from their job, compared to only 2% of non-problem gamblers. Given the research findings, BCLC is enhancing and reinforcing several of our responsible gambling measures. These enhancements are a part of our ongoing proactive strategy to identify and support special populations that may be at higher risk for developing problem gambling behaviors. The actions we're taking include enhancing training, developing employee-specific materials, updating policies, increasing venue and community-based support, continuing to work collaboratively with our service providers, and conducting follow-up research. We'll now look into each of these a little bit more closely. BCLC is revising ART Level 1 training to include information on gambling participation and problem gambling behaviors among gaming workers. We'll also be specifically highlighting the resources and supports available to employees, such as our voluntary self-exclusion program, the Problem Gambling Hotline, GameSense Advisors and GameSense Info Centers, and highlighting that several service providers offer employee assistance programs. We're also creating employee-specific materials to be displayed in staff rooms and break rooms, highlighting some of the heightened risks for gaming workers and available resources, again highlighting the Voluntary Self-Exclusion Program, the Problem Gambling Hotline, GameSense Advisors and GameSense Info Centers, and as mentioned, the Employee Assistance Program, if available. We're updating the VSE policy, voluntary self-exclusion, also called VSE, policy and agreement to reinforce that self-exclusion is available for employees and for individuals whose employment requires them to enter a gaming facility. Entry to gaming facilities will be granted for the purposes of employment. And we're also highlighting that security and surveillance and those that administer the program may be notified of an individual who is VSE'd, but that they're required to protect that individual's privacy. BCLC is continuing to work with the Government Policy and Enforcement Branch to enhance awareness and access to local counselors for gaming workers. And we're also exploring the opportunity to expand the GameSense Advisor program, which currently is housed in casinos, and expanding it to community gaming centers. We're continuing to work with our service providers. We've shared the results of this survey, and we're exploring how we can continue to work together to reach gaming workers early and often. We'll be looking for opportunities to leverage existing programs and policies and activities such as orientation and onboarding. And finally, we will be conducting follow-up research in 3 to 4 years' time to measure the progress towards reducing the proportion of gaming workers who are at risk for developing problem gambling behaviors. BCLC is committed to reducing the harm that can be associated with gambling, not only amongst our players, but amongst employees. We know that by taking better care of those that work in the industry, we're taking better care of our players, which in turn is better for the sustainability of our business. Thank you. We've got a question. I think there's a mic roaming around. Yep, so... up here.
Thank you. It's a nice presentation. I wanted to know, I'm kind of new at this, of the problem gamblers who are the employees, what kinds of issues seem to arise?
Well, thank you all for coming. My name is Khalil Philander. I'm the Director of Social Responsibility at BCLC, and allow me to be the first person to welcome all of you to the New Horizons in Responsible Gambling Conference. Today we have a special pre-conference session that Lindsay Richardson, who's our Senior Responsible Gambling Specialist for Special Populations, will be teaching us. The name of the presentation is... And we have already the technical glitch, which is a great way to start this conference. But the name of her presentation is Supporting Gaming Workers, Research Insights, and Program Outcomes. Lindsay Richardson's position is, as I mentioned, the Senior Specialist for Special Populations, which means that her role deals with different groups of people who might have increased risks of gambling issues or different types of risks than the general populations that we might deal with. And so Lindsay comes to us with a comprehensive background in health research, evaluation, policy development, and health promotion. And she's worked on many different public health research projects nationally and internationally, so we're very lucky to have her. And so please join me in welcoming Lindsay to the stage.
Good afternoon and welcome. As mentioned, glitch. I'm Lindsay, and as Cleo mentioned, I'm a Senior Specialist in Responsible Gambling at BCLC, and today I'm here to share with you findings from a recent survey we conducted with gaming workers here in BC. And throughout the presentation today, we're going to discuss responsible gambling and gaming workers in BC. We'll discuss both the workplace, the risk factors and the protective factors that exist within the workplace and that can mitigate or potentially promote gambling behavior. We'll get into the specifics of the gaming worker survey, and then we'll discuss the actions BCLC is taking in response to the research findings. To provide some context and background, we know that industry-wide at-risk gambling rates are higher amongst gaming workers, and we want to know if this was true in BC. If so, we wanted to conduct research to inform our policies, programs, and services for those that work in the industry. By taking better care of our workers, we know that we can take better care of our players, which is in turn better for the long-term sustainability of our industry. BCLC is committed to harm reduction not only amongst our players, but among those that work in the industry as well. It's important that we have the right information, services, and supports in place for those who need them. Research shows there are a number of factors that heighten certain risks of gaming workers developing gambling disorders. To that end, with Ipsos, we conducted the Gaming Worker Survey in 2016. The results of this survey provide us an opportunity to enhance and tailor our resources for gaming facility workers. Before I get into the specifics of the survey, what I'd like to do is talk about both the protective factors and risk factors that exist within the workplace. In terms of policy, gaming workers are not allowed to gamble in the facility where they're employed or any facility operated by their service provider. Further, although gaming workers are eligible for our Encore Rewards program, they're only able to do so with limited program membership. For training, we have our appropriate response training, commonly called ART, which is a mandatory BCLC training program for all front house gaming workers. ART was created to enhance responsible gambling-related knowledge, skills, and awareness for all gaming personnel in order for them to support players in their facilities. ART is comprised of two distinct levels. There's ART Level 1, which is an online course intended for all front-of-house gaming workers, and ART Level 2, which is a four-hour in-person training program implemented by our regional team leads and a GameSense advisor if available. More than 15,000 gaming workers have completed the ART Level 1 and or ART Level 2 so far, and we regularly update the curriculum based on research and best practices. We also have our GameSense advisors, or GSAs as we call them, and GSAs are staff within casinos that provide responsible gambling-related resources and information for players who are looking for support or just information on responsible gambling or problem gambling. Continuing to look at the protective factors, our GameSense advisors also regularly implement staff awareness programs in staff rooms or around staff rooms, such as Myths 101 and GameSense 101. And finally, we have our GameSense Excellence Award, which enables gambling employees to nominate their peers who go above and beyond in terms of responsible gambling in their daily operations. As mentioned, gaming workers are at heightened risk for problem gambling, and this may stem from factors related to the workplace environment. For example, we know gaming workers have regular interaction with gamblers, which may lead to distorted views of winning. They often have a frequent exposure to gambling, which may normalize gambling behavior or heavy gambling behavior. They may experience encouragement to gamble from their work colleagues, where there's a general acceptance of gambling. They're regularly exposed to gambling marketing and promotions, which may act as a trigger or encourage them to get caught up in the excitement. And there may be a reluctance to expose their gambling behaviors to their employer for fear of reprisal or job loss. Given this information and the fact that to date the majority of responsible gambling efforts have been focused on the player, we realized it was equally important to focus on those that work in the industry. The benefits of doing so would help us maintain a healthy and engaged workforce, improve service delivery, and improve player well-being. Now to get into the specifics of the survey. We had four objectives. First, we wanted to understand the gambling behavior of BC gaming workers. We wanted to determine the incidence of at-risk and not-at-risk behaviors. We wanted to understand the impact and influence of the workplace. And finally, we wanted to measure awareness, attitudes, and use of responsible gambling and problem gambling resources. To ensure confidence and protection of the employees, the research was reviewed by an independent ethics review board. And in terms of methodology, our survey was an online survey with survey invitations being sent by email to 1,300 of the 7,500 gaming workers in BC. In total, 547 surveys were completed online between May 4th and May 12th, 2016. One of the challenges we encountered was how we were going to reach frontline staff, since they're employees of our service providers, not BCLC, and they don't have a corporate email account. We needed a way to send them the link to the survey while capturing the appropriate consent. With the help of our GameSense advisors, we set up tables in or around staff rooms as an opportunity to engage staff, tell them about this survey, and encourage them to participate. At a few remote sites, we also had an iPad available for those who may not have internet at home. 59% of the surveys that were completed were via this open link method, and over 50% of those who completed the survey were frontline staff. Now I'd like to get into the results. Our research indicates that 92% of gaming workers that we surveyed had gambled in the past year. In comparison, 72.5% of the general public participated in gambling over the last 12 months. The top three gambling activities for the gaming workers we surveyed were retail lottery purchase, retail scratch and win, gaming facility slot machine play. When we look at problem gambling, we can see that 7.9% of the adult population is estimated to be at low risk for problem gambling compared to 14% of gaming workers. Also, 3.3% of the general public is estimated to be at moderate or high risk of gambling problems compared to 14% of gaming workers. Gaming workers provided a variety of reasons why they gamble. For example, for fun, to be social, to be relaxed, or to have an escape. And these responses were similar across the three categories of gamblers: non-problem, low risk, and moderate high risk. Now, what about responsible gambling? We asked survey respondents how much they agreed with the statement, "I'm a responsible gambler." In response, 86% of non-problem gamblers strongly agreed or agreed with the statement, 99% of low risk agreed or strongly agreed with the statement, and 55% of those in the moderate and high risk agreed or strongly agreed with the statement. This shows that amongst those in the moderate and high risk category, there was about one in two of them viewed themselves as a responsible gambler, so there was a bit of a sense of reality. Continuing to look at responsible gambling behaviors, findings indicate that those in the moderate and high risk category were less likely to engage in responsible gambling behaviors. For example, if we look at the first two rows, 78% of those in the moderate high risk category rarely set aside gambling winnings, compared to 34% of those in the non-problem category. And 41% of moderate and high-risk gamblers rarely set a limit to how much money they spend, compared to 7% of non-problem gamblers. Now, what about the workplace? Individuals in the moderate and high-risk category had previous exposure to gambling before working in the industry. For example, they were significantly more likely to be familiar with the games and significantly more likely to have been a frequent gambler. Individuals classified in the moderate and high-risk category reported the highest increases in gambling since starting to work in the industry. For example, 32% of those in the moderate and high-risk category said that their gambling increased since working in the industry, compared to 26% of those in the low-risk category and 10% in non-problem. Overall, though, the frequency of gambling changed since working in the industry for all workers. However, the direction and magnitude of change varies by segment.